Thanks, Phil. You know, I think it's important to be doing this and praying. I read a quote this week that said, the church is full of organisers, but not necessarily agonisers. You know, we organise a lot of things, but we're called to agonise for things in prayer. And I love that. Hey, 2 weeks ago, I sat in my at McDonald's, my second spiritual home. And I have lots of significant conversations at McDonald's. And I'm sitting with one of the leaders, the Connect Group leaders, and he said to me that one of the guys in his group wants to get baptized. I thought, well, this is off to a good start. This sounds fantastic. And I said to him, well, we've got a little brochure that we take people through who want to get baptized just to make sure that, you know, they understand what baptism is all about. And I said, why don't you do that with him? He said, well, there's one problem with that. I haven't been baptized either. I said, well, okay, well, let's deal with that one. So 2 weeks later, we got together once again in McDonald's, drinking our coffee, medium size, not large now, just, you know, looking out for a while. And we sat there and we talked about baptism with one, the leader, and the member of his Connect group who want to get baptized. And we talked about a whole lot of things about baptism, and particularly about Matthew 28 that says, go and make disciples, teaching people and baptizing them. And I got into my car and I drove away and I said this to myself, I can't believe I get to do this stuff. Now that may seem, well, why would you say that? Because as I was driving, I was thinking about Matthew 28, go and make disciples, teaching people and baptizing them. And I realized in that moment, I was putting the Great Commission into practice, even in McDonald's. You know, at Croydon Hills Baptist Church, we want to make disciples, people who are fully devoted to Jesus Christ. And part of that is teaching the truth, but it's making disciples through baptism. We believe in that so much that we've decided that we're going to set aside a service every term to focus on people who want to get baptized. I want to encourage you. If you haven't been baptized, maybe you need to pray about whether or not you should be baptized or whether or not God is calling you to be baptized. You know, this leader of mine who said he hadn't been baptized, he was actually baptized as a little kid, as an infant. And we want to acknowledge that, and we don't want to take that special, and that means something. It's very important to people. It's important to families. But we don't believe that that's adult baptism. You know, when John was baptizing people, it was a baptism of repentance. What baptism really is, it's this external expression of an internal reality. It's an external expression of an internal reality. It's a public declaration. What you're doing is you're saying, I'm going under the water to say that I'm dying to the way I lived my life and I'm coming up as a new person to live for Jesus, is an act of repentance. And I want to really encourage you to be thinking and praying about, do you need to get baptized? Would the Lord lay on your heart the idea of being baptized? I had a guy who was, I think he's 80 years old, came up to me this week and said, I haven't yet been baptized. And I thought, that is very special. And we're talking about baptism. We have one baptism this afternoon, Matt, and we're having another baptism, Annabella, tonight. We have one other youth, I think, young person in the process of going through baptism classes, and I have four adult people who are working through with me about getting baptized. And we want to put out there and encourage you, have you been baptized? A baptism of repentance where you publicly declare that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you, that you acknowledge that you need to repent, you go into the water and you come out as a new person. God calls us to be baptized. It's actually a commandment. And so we've got a few questions, I think, coming up on the screen here any moment. Yes, so have you been baptized? When were you baptized? Why would someone be baptized and why were you baptized? And what we want to do is just take 2 minutes, 2 or 3 minutes, turn to the person next to you and answer one or two of those questions. Tell them when you were baptized. Tell them why you got baptized. Tell them what it meant to you when you got baptized. So let's just do that for the next couple of minutes.
All sorts of questions there, and they need more than 2 minutes. Maybe it's a topic for a conversation later on. I can tell you that I was baptized on Halloween. of 1983. My brother's birthday is the 31st of October. That's why I was baptized when I was 16 years old. That's maybe a few years ago now. Can I also ask that you need to be praying for the Harris family? Matt shared about Momentum Camp, and he shared about the big game of Monopoly. Our house was sold during the Monopoly game, and it's now being rented out for $20 a week, so we're looking for new accommodation. Thank you, Matt, for that. You know, it's really actually really been exciting over the last couple of years. We've had about, between the Karen community and the English community, somewhere in the region of about 35 people who have been baptized over the last couple of years, which has been really wonderful. And we're excited about this afternoon and this evening about seeing more people commit themselves in acts of faith. It's really significant when we make those steps and stances of faith. I think that's really important to how, it kind of, it's an expression of hearing how God is impacting our stories. And it always makes me ask myself when I hear that, how am I involved? And Cam asked that question before. He said, you know, maybe for some of us, it means that we should get baptized if you've never taken that step of faith. Or maybe it means that you're involved in sharing your faith with someone who's taking those steps towards following Jesus in a real way and sharing your faith in that way. Last week, we were a part of Testimony Sunday. And Testimony Sundays provoke us to ask this question, I think, is about where is God working in my life as much as God is working in the world? What's my testimony? What's my story? What's my part in this? 2 weeks ago, if you were here, I invited and challenged us to be praying for someone for 21 days in a row. I invited you. How have you gone with that? I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up. How have you gone in that praying for someone for 21 days? And in fact, if you were here during that time, did someone come to your mind that you wanted to pray for 21 days? Or maybe did multiple people, or maybe did no one come? It invites us the question about how am I involved in this? And when we share in these type of gatherings, and these are an important part for when we've talked about 10 a.m. reimagining, they're about us participating. It's not about watching the professionals on the stage. It's about us participating. How am I involved? What's my role in this? These are the questions that ask, because things like Testimony Sunday, things like baptisms, they only work. In fact, they are based on this premise that God is moving in the world and God is changing lives. It might be people learning to trust Jesus or follow Jesus for the first time. Or it might mean for some following Jesus in a more committed way than in the past. That's the fundamental premise of what they're about. And so it causes us to ask, how am I involved in this? What's my story in this? If you ask some of our team during this past week, I've been annoying a few of them because I've been asking them this question. Why are you a Christian? Why are you a Christian? Let me ask you that question. Maybe you're not. Maybe you are. Why, if you are you a Christian? Why did you first come to follow Jesus? And I shared that I was baptized nearly 43 years ago. Why do I still follow Jesus now as I did back then? What's the reason? What's your story in this? What were the things that caused you, if you're a Christian, to follow Jesus in the first place? What was it? Do you know? Can you think? Was it a person who maybe had a significant influence on you? Maybe an event in your life was kind of a pivotal moment. Or maybe it was something that you saw in other people and you thought, wait a sec, that's something real. Maybe it was questions that you had. Different experiences that were important to you and helped to change who you are. Why are you a Christian? You know, a fundamental part of the vision of this church is we want to see people's lives changed by the hope, the meaning, and the love that is found in Jesus. And when you read in the
in the stories of the Gospels of Jesus' life in the New Testament, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you see different people encounter Jesus in very real ways, and their lives are changed, but they're changed for different reasons. In a sense, they follow Jesus for different reasons. And so when Jesus has Peter, one of his closest disciples, follow him, and there's a point in his life in which it appears that everybody's abandoning Jesus. And Jesus says, will you go too? In other words, will you leave me or will you continue to follow me? And Peter says these words. He says, who will we follow? Only you have the words of life. You're the only one who gives life. See, for Peter, the reason he was following Jesus was because he had a hope, a belief that Jesus gave meaning to life. That's his story. Or think about the woman at the well. Jesus encounters this woman, a woman who's been rejected by her community, a woman who has a dark past. And Jesus encounters her. And what's the reason that she comes to Jesus? Because she finds in him life. She finds in him an invitation and acceptance. Love changes her life, doesn't it? That's her story. Oh, what about Zacchaeus? You know, Zacchaeus is kind of one of these people in history who was pilloried. His name has become a kind of like a term for short people who were stealing stuff. Sorry if your name's Zach, actually. I just realized what I just said. Why does he follow Jesus? I'm sure that his life was filled with guilt and shame. He knew he was stealing from his people. Jesus meets him and he forgives him. And his life is transformed. Instead of stealing, he gives with generosity. That's his story. What's your story? Why do you follow Jesus? I think of the rich young ruler. This is a man who comes to Jesus one night, and this is a guy who has everything. In fact, the fact that he's described as rich young ruler is kind of like, you know, three kind of descriptive to say, this man has everything. But he has nothing. Because even though he has everything, he's still searching, isn't he? He comes to Jesus, and Jesus tells him, he has to get rid of all those things. They're not the most important things, and he can't do it. So this man actually doesn't follow Jesus because he was so consumed with those other things. What's your story? You know, 3 months ago, our country was changed, I believe, for a long, long time in our lives. Sunday, December the 14th, we were horrified by that mass murder on Bondi Beach. The intentional racial targeting felt different than anything else that I can remember. It felt even different. I can remember the Port Arthur incident. It felt even different than that because it had this racial profile to it, didn't it? Do you remember what happened in the following week? Newspapers, mediums, social media were filled with questions of why. What's the nature of evil? People were looking for answers, wanting to understand. You know, when moments like this happen in our world, we reach for answers to the big questions of life, don't we? We want to know why. I want to say to you that people are asking those questions at the moment as much as any time that I can remember in my life. Why? Why would we think about these things? Why would we follow Jesus? There was a significant amount of research that's been going on in the United Kingdom in recent times. And I'm going to ask our great AV team to put a slide up here on the screen. Only the special people who are in the first three rows can read it. Okay? But I thought I wanted to put it up anyway. That's my invitation. Either wear bigger glasses or sit up the front. Did you know this, that the church in the United Kingdom is actually undergoing a surprising comeback? In the last 6 years, church attendance has jumped over 50% in the UK. Approximately 2 million people have begun going. In this research, they identified six reasons why people are giving church a go. Firstly, the number one reason, because people are happier there. You know, in the research, it tells us that 71% of churchgoers say they're happy with life. 75% feel their life has meaning. That's miles ahead of people who don't go to church. Miles ahead. You know, maybe there is some truth to when Jesus says that I've come to give life to the full. Your church is a place, it said, where people ask the big stuff. Where did I come from? Why am I here? What's the point of it all? And if those questions rattle around in your brain, where do you find those answers? It's the reason, in fact, that we'll be running Alpha again this year, because it's a safe place to ask those questions. It's a place people ask the big questions of life. People have begun going to the church more and more because it's not about a building, it's about people. It's about a place of belonging. Place where you can find all sorts of different people. People who will be supportive, encouraging. People who are messy. It's a place where people are welcome. And whether you're an introvert, whether you're an extrovert, a thinker, a feeler, a young or old, there's room for you. Reasons why people are going. Another reason is because it's an opportunity. This is identified for you to be part of something bigger than yourself. For our lives to matter. We're making a difference. It's not about watching from the sidelines as being part of a church. It's about joining in. Statistics tell us that people who attend a church are way more likely to volunteer, to support charities, to give to food banks. And if you're desiring purpose, a chance to help, maybe the church is the place. Another reason that's identified is because the church is a place which gives you space to breathe. Life moves so fast, but church is one of those places which invites you to pause. Matt, when he led earlier on, gave us time to pause, didn't he? To think about why we might want to praise God. It's not a magic fix. What it is an opportunity to take a breath, to bring our worries, our fears, and our concerns to the God of the universe. The final reason they identified in this research is because church is actually a celebration. Why do we sing on Sundays? Because we're celebrating something significant. That the Lord of the universe is worth praising. That His love, which changes us, is something that we want to be singing about from our heart. That the resurrection gives hope for all life. A church gathering is a celebration. Won't solve your problems, but it connects us with the one who does. Why are you a Christian? What's your story? You know, I would say that our stories at times change. The reason that I committed my life to following Jesus when I was 16 in a serious way is different than the reason why I continue to follow Jesus in my 50s. There's probably multiple reasons, is there? Maybe even when you heard those six different things, you identified different parts. What's your story? You know, when we share in Baptism Sunday, when we talk about our testimonies, what we're inviting you to be a part of is not to be a spectator, but to have faith active in our lives, central to who we are and how we live Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, each day. This is not about people standing on a stage. This is about how God works through all of us. And we want to say to you, if we are praying for people who don't know Jesus, we need to have a story to share. And in fact, as you ask those questions maybe earlier on, if you've been baptized or why you would think about it, what's your story? That's what I want to leave you and I want to invite you to do today. If I had a microphone here, a portable, and I went down to you and I said to you, why are you a Christian? What would you say? I put a bunch of our people on the spot this week and I asked them those questions. And I got to tell you, there was a couple of things I heard which was just beautiful. Maybe you should ask someone else. Why are you a Christian? What's your story? You know, in the Psalms we read this, "Come and listen, all who fear God, and I will tell you what he did for me." Can you inhabit that verse? I will tell you what he did for me. So I'm inviting you to think about why. Trying to invite you to think about what were the things, what were the feelings, what were the people, and why are they today? Because we want to be people who share our story about why we follow Jesus. You know, we're going to stand and we're going to sing in a moment. It's a great song. It's called My Living Hope. The band's going to come up. We sing this song, My Living Hope. Why is Jesus your living hope? You know, after the service today, we'll have a number of people available to pray, and maybe there's some stuff in your life at the moment that you need to do business with God. And maybe when I ask the question, what's your story, you're not even sure what your story is. You're not even sure if I've ever responded to Jesus in any particular way. And if you want to do business with God in that way, can I say that today is the day? Cam will be around, Matt's around, myself's around, other people in the team are around. Maybe it's someone who you trust and know and you want to ask that question. I'm just not sure. Today's a day to do business with God. You know, each one of us has a story to tell. You know, there's someone in this world, someone in your neighborhood, someone in your workplace, someone in your local community who needs to hear your story. You know that? Your story, and it's only your story, about how Jesus has changed your life. And so my prayer for you today, my invitation, is to have a story that you want to share with people about how lives are changed. Hope, meaning, and love changes lives. So I want to say to you, we gather today, but we also go out from here. And we go out from here to share our stories and to live as followers of Jesus.